You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Mighty Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray that we would see and hear, know and trust, love, worship, and glorify your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. A few years ago, there was a fad among Christian books that had a consistent theme. David Platt wrote a book called Radical. It called for Christians to live extraordinarily radical lives for the kingdom of God. John Piper wrote a book called Don't Waste Your Life, that called for people to surrender everything for the sake of global missions. My wife Lauren and I, several years ago, were at a Christian conference for college students where the speaker and author, Mark Batterson, exhorted college students to do great things for God. I'm not saying there's anything inherently unbiblical or bad about these comments. These can be good things. But here's what a lot of people heard in these books and in these messages, is that we needed to live extraordinary, spectacular lives for God. And so that begs the question, what about those of us who are just regular people? What about those of us who are just trying to glorify God in an ordinary life? Now, not all of us here at the Church of the Advent are ordinary and boring. We do have some exciting people. We have a violinist who has recorded with a 9-time Grammy Award winner. We have a drummer who has led a Johnny Cash tribute band, and he sounds just like the man in black. We have a former professional golfer who's a 2-time national champion at the University of Alabama. There's even a Secret Service agent in the room. Don't ask me who it is, I'd have to kill you. And in all seriousness, we do have a man in our church, he's a lawyer, Stephen Humphreys, who is prosecuting war crimes in Ukraine for the justice of the Ukrainian people. It's pretty amazing. We should pray for Stephen. But by and large, most of us are regular people living ordinary, boring lives. For a lot of you, your life is going to school, doing homework, playing your sport, and maybe you can sneak in a little Xbox at night. For some of you, it's going to a job, cleaning your house, paying your bills, and watching Netflix. For some people, life is diapers and cleaning out stains and meal planning. And I'll just tell you, for me, the highlight of every morning is drinking a Diet Coke. That is the good life for your man Cameron. Well, I have good news for all of you who are just regular people. There is so much hope and so much meaning in an ordinary life lived for the glory of God. The kingdom of God advances through regular people living ordinary lives for the glory of God out of the grace of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is what we see today as we examine Matthew chapter 25 and the parable of the talents. What Jesus conveys in this parable is that everything in your life matters. Everything in your life has meaning in the eyes of God. And so today, this is going to be kind of an unusual sermon. It's going to be a Bible-based, gospel-centered pep talk for the regular person living a boring life. It's also going to be an invitation for the person who you kind of live your days wondering, is there more to life than this? And so first, I want to just examine the parable, and then I want to offer three encouragements from this text. So first, this parable, the parable of the talents, it falls in between two other parables that are both about preparing for the second coming of Christ. Here, a master has come to three servants, and he has given each of them a different amount of talents, which was a large sum of money. One receives 5 talents, the second 2, and the third 1. The master goes away for a long time, and then he comes back to see how they have invested their talents. The first and the second have invested their talents well. They have doubled their money. And the master is pleased. He applauds them. He says to both of them, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Well, things did not go as well for the third servant. He, believing that the master is a hard man, he buried his treasure in the ground. The master disapproves of his failure, and he says to him, "You wicked and slothful servant, And he then cast the servant into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so this is the interpretation of this parable. It follows the arc of Jesus' ascension into heaven and then his second coming. Christ, who's the master in the parable, he leaves his servants with his Holy Spirit and then with different gifts and abilities. And upon his return, Christ will see and reward believers for their faithfulness. The third servant, his failure to invest well, is more a reflection of the fact that he did not truly know and have a relationship with Christ. He did not truly have saving faith, and so he is therefore eternally condemned by God. And so out of this parable, we can glean three big encouragements for the regular person living an ordinary life. First encouragement, everything in your life is a gift, and it matters in relation to God's glory. Notice that the master calls the servants. The master determines the unique talents that each servant has. In addition, the master has entrusted his servants to, quote, his property. That's seen in verse 14. So the master has given them everything that they have. Everything they have is a gift of God's grace. And so the master has design and control in both the calling and in the bestowing of the gifts. And so you need to know, no matter who you are, that your life has meaning and significance before God. Now, you may think that you live a life that is insignificant, but you have been called to the exact place where you are according to God's perfect providence. Every relationship in your life, every place that you are, every resource that you have, it is a gift for your blessing and for God's glory. The people in your classes, the people that live on your street, the people that are in your group at Brother Brian, the people that you play golf with or play tennis with, it is all significant under God's eyes. Because God made you for a purpose. God made you with design and with intention. Your life genuinely matters. Finally, it is worth noting that the gift of even one talent was an extraordinarily large gift. One talent equated to 6,000 denarii. And one denarii is what a person would be paid for one day's work. So one talent alone would equate to 23 years of wages in today's financial terms. So talents in this parable, they symbolize the different gifts and ability that God has given you for the sake of the kingdom. And so whatever ability or talent the Lord has given you, it has immense value in God's eternal economy. Now, whether you are hospitable or administrative or encouraging or a great communicator or you just love to serve, the world may see it as small. The world may not value it at all. But your simple abilities have eternal value in the eyes of God. Second encouragement. You do not have to be spectacular for God. Let's break this down. The master is gone for a long time. During that time, the first two servants, they double their money. I do not want to misappropriate today's financial terms to ancient times, but you can generally expect to double your money every 10 years with a decent return on investment. These guys doubled their money over an entire lifetime, which is fine. It's pretty good. But it's not great. It's not spectacular. And yet, the master is well pleased. He is well pleased. Notice that the master does not say to them, "Well done, extraordinary, spectacular, all-star servant." He says, "Good and faithful servant." These are not remarkable adjectives. They both receive the same reward. They are both enter into the joy of the presence of God. Now, we can get paralyzed by this notion that Christian faithfulness means that you sell all your property, you move to Africa, you do missions, and you live on a dirt floor. And if that is your call, praise God. That's great. And we should all be open to that. Our life belongs to the Lord. We should be surrendered to whatever God calls us to. But most of us are called to ordinary lives. That is generally what we're called to. You do not have to be spectacular. Jesus was spectacular in his ministry. Jesus was spectacular in his life, his death, his resurrection. Jesus is presently spectacular on the throne of God. You are off the hook. You do not have to be spectacular. I say that life is about being basically faithful. And what that means is that every day we wake up and we draw close to Jesus and we ask Jesus to help us abide in him and bear fruit and to help us walk in the Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit, we trust God to use us wherever we go, whether that is checking out at the Publix, going to your job, eating dinner with your family, or working out at the YMCA. We just trust God to use us as an instrument of his love, his healing, his redemption, and his peace. The kingdom of God moves forward off of ordinary people being basically faithful in their day-to-day ordinary lives. And so in light of this, every moment of your life, it has meaning and it has potential. And that is something that can get you out of bed in the morning. Third encouragement, God sees your labor. One of the challenging parts of living a basically faithful life as a regular person is that there is very little recognition and there is very little glory. So much of being basically faithful is thankless. There was a viral story last year about a man named Kevin Ford who worked 27 straight years without missing a day of work at the Burger King in the Las Vegas airport. And so on the anniversary of his 27th year without missing a day of work, he casually told a coworker about his streak. The coworker told the manager, and the manager scrambled to get together a gift for Mr. Ford. Got him a movie ticket, a Starbucks cup, some chocolates, and a backpack to carry his gift home. And Mr. Ford was surprised and he was thrilled because he had a coworker who had worked 35 years without receiving any recognition at all, and she never missed a day of work. Well, his daughter thought that this was too little, so she did a GoFundMe campaign and to get some money to reward Mr. Ford for his diligent work. She expected to raise $200. The campaign raised $270,000. What a story, right? Talk about being recognized and being celebrated. This story is a total anomaly. This is just generally not how it goes for regular people living ordinary lives. Parents, think of how many diapers you've changed, stains you've cleaned, meals you've prepared without a simple thank you. For a lot of you, you've worked really hard in a job, and the corporate animal has never said thanks or good job. For a lot of people, you're middle-aged, and you're taking care of aging parents, and your days are consumed with setting up nurses and going out to the nursing home. And unfortunately, a lot of times you are the punching bag for the parent you're taking care of. Think about being a children's Sunday school teacher. You plant seeds and you plant seeds and you plant seeds and you plant seeds, and where does the fruit come? Well, it seems like this is one of the struggles of being a regular person. Well, the parable of the talents reassures us that God sees your labor. God sees your faithfulness, and none of it will go unrecognized. One of the last things that Jesus is recorded as saying in the Bible is in Revelation 22:12. He says, "Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what he have done." In some ways, this could sound ominous or this could sound threatening, which isn't an awful thing. But in that promise is the hope and the reassurance that the Lord God, more than any person in this world, sees your labor. He sees your labor, and he rewards it in his time. So in conclusion, so much of this talk has been predicated on the notion that we live for the glory of God. And that might be foreign to you. How do we enter into that? How do we enter into a life of relationship with Christ where we glorify God? Well, I would point out that the make or break factor between the faithful servant and the unfaithful servant is simply their view of who God is. In verse 24 and 25, the unfaithful servant says, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." The unfaithful servant has a false understanding of who the servant, who the master is. He has a false understanding of God. He is like Adam and Eve. When they heard God coming, they believed that God was harsh and unforgiving rather than knowing that God is a wellspring of mercy and grace, and they ran and hid. So what moves a person to live for the glory of God in an ordinary life and to enter into this meaningful, joyous life that Christ offers to us is not a determination to be great for God. It's not a determination to live for God's glory. The key is remembering who God truly is. We see the goodness and the kindness and the love of God in the person of Jesus Christ. We see the forgiveness and the generosity of God in the work of Christ on the cross as he comes to die for our sins. And the more that we soak in how wonderfully good the Lord God is, the more we bathe in that, the more the Holy Spirit organically turns us into people who want to live for the glory of God and for the sake of his kingdom. Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray that you would glorify yourself in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.